And if you need a part, you can get it fast, like same-day pickup or next-day delivery fast. At NAPA, when we're not thinking about cars, we're thinking about the people who drive them. Because when it comes to serving you and our community, our motor never quits. That's NAPA know-how. Same-day pickup and next-day delivery available at participating stores and on in-stock items only.
For the ones standing guard. For the eagle-eyed. For the knights in shining armor. And for all those who support them. We are Grainger, your experienced safety partner. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Committed to helping keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Why so serious? So we're so fast if you are wrong. Get over right away.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
So, how can I promote my new curbside pickup service?
It's possible with Staples Connect.
I need custom floor decals that'll get noticed, not just walked on.
Also possible, Staples Connect can help your business grow with custom printed sales and marketing materials. And now get 15% off signs, posters, and decals when you spend $75 or more. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. Ends 529. Visit staples.com/signage for details.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
Gary Parish speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Ben Adol's producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can.
Our daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you're ready for postseason basketball because it starts tonight. Doubleheader, Eastern Conference play-in. Hornets Pacers tipping off at 5:30. That's the 9-10 game in the East. Then we get Wizards Celtics in the 7-8 game, tipping off a little after 8 o'clock. Both games on TNT, and I hope to God you didn't lock in on the Pacers early, because bad news for Indiana this afternoon. Caris LeVert, second leading scorer, is out. Health and safety protocols. Shams Charania reporting, even if they win tonight, he will not be available on Thursday either. He's expected to be sidelined 10 to 14 days. That suggests that this isn't contact tracing, but it is a positive COVID-19 test. Leads to an interesting discussion, I think. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, Mark Few's going to join me. He's the head coach of a basketball powerhouse, the one we call Gonzaga. His Zags have played in 2 of the past 4 national title games. They are the consensus number one team in the nation heading into next season. They have the preseason National Player of the Year in Drew Timmy. They have the number one prospect in the class of 2021 in Chet Holmgren. Built a monster. They're going to be great again next season. Absolutely loaded once again. I'm going to talk to Mark Few about it. He's going to join me in the next segment right around 4:20. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories, 4:44, at which point I will discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Joe Lunardi has updated his projected bracket for next season to reflect recent developments. I'll tell you where he's got the Tigers and the Vols around 4:44. Scary scene last night inside Truist Park down in suburban Atlanta. Kevin Pillar, New York Mets, took a 94-mile-per-hour fastball to the face, suffered multiple facial fractures, and it has restarted a debate about whether baseball has a real problem, considering this is happening more often than it's happened at any point in more than a century. We'll talk through that a little later on this hour. Shohei Ohtani's incredible season for the Angels continued last night. What a talent this guy is, on the mound, at the plate. I'll tell you more about him just before 5 o'clock, and a wild story out of Louisville this afternoon. Former assistant Dino Gaudio has been federally charged with extortion for trying to extort head coach Chris Mack and the University of Louisville. Basically, he wasn't going to have his contract renewed, and he appears to have threatened in some way, you know, if you don't renew my contract, I can go to the media about violations that have happened inside the program. Now, the violations even alleged, like, is basically nothing. So I don't know what he thought he was going to get accomplished with that. But now he's facing federal charges for extortion. So it's backfired pretty clearly. We'll get into that during four notable stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cogg is just like always. Then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with the NBA because tonight, for the first time ever, back-to-back play-in games. First a 9-10 game, followed by an 8-9 game. Tonight is all Eastern Conference. So we're going to start with the 10th-seeded Hornets, 9th-seeded Pacers. Tip for that one's at 5:30. You hate that tip time?
Well, I mean, that's pretty dang early.
It's earlier than normal. but it's I guess it's 6:30 in Indianapolis.
I guess.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate that reaction from you.
Well, I mean, it's
based on nothing more than the tip time.
A little disrespectful to the Pacers and the Hornets. They're just like, hey, you know, if people watch, great.
If people watch, like, you're the Pacers and the Hornets. We'll put you on at 5. You go on at 5:30 Central.
Yeah.
It's the Pacers and the Hornets. What
that's
are you going to do? Tip it off at 5:30. And then the winner of that game will advance to play the loser of tonight's second game between the 7th-seeded Celtics and the 8th-seeded Wizards. Tip for that one, scheduled for a little after 8 o'clock. That okay with you?
I'm good with that. Yeah. 8 o'clock's good.
I'm actually looking forward to this. Are you looking forward to this?
Oh, yeah. I like the stakes this early. I know the playoffs haven't started, but technically kind of the playoffs. I like the stakes super early.
Yeah, like in game one, first off, you get LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, he doesn't play on national television that often because
no.
The Hornets aren't on national television that
right.
often. I think a lot of people know LaMelo Ball. A lot of people have seen LaMelo Ball highlights. A lot of people know LaMelo Ball is probably going to be the rookie of the year, that he's LaVar Ball's youngest son, that he's one of the Ball brothers, that Lonzo is his oldest sibling. How many people have actually watched LaMelo Ball play a whole basketball game?
It's a good question.
Outside of Charlotte.
Yeah, like, I mean, I have. I'm sure you have.
I have.
I don't
you
know
have.
If, like, the casual
Matt,
NBA
Matt
fan
Moore has.
Yeah.
Zach Lowe has. But, like, outside of people who really, really follow the sport, you're not going to bump into a LaMelo Ball game
right.
too often unless you live in Charlotte or unless he's playing the team in the market that you live in. You know, if you have League Pass, you can watch every game, but
mm-hmm.
most people don't have League Pass. I got it. You know, diehard basketball fans, I assume most of them have it, but not everybody does. So it's a big stage for LaMelo Ball. I guess you could say the biggest stage ever. First postseason mm-hmm. game for LaMelo Ball on real national television. They did put it at 5:30, so, like, I'll miss the first hour.
Yeah.
But, you know, an opportunity to watch LaMelo Ball play his first postseason game, that's fun. And then in the nightcap, you get the big brand that is the Boston Celtics, the struggling Boston Celtics, the shorthanded Boston Celtics, but it's still – Brad Stevens, Jason Tatum, and the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
And on the other side, a guy who I think has probably done more for his reputation over the past month or two than maybe anybody in the NBA, and that's Russell Westbrook. He became the all-time leader in career triple-doubles and is probably the biggest reason the Wizards are even in this game.
Yep.
You know, the Wizards being in this game is also another testament to the play-in being effective at discouraging tanking. There was a time where the Wizards' record was so bad that in a different season, like a previous season where the play-in didn't exist, the Wizards would have probably went straight into tank mode. At least that's what smart people would have been telling them mm-hmm. to do. Like, okay, it's time to, hey, Bradley Beal, your hamstring hurting? Hey, Russ, how you feeling? Let's sit it down a little bit and try to maximize our lottery odds. But because finishing in the top 10 as opposed to the top 8 would give you a chance to make the playoffs, the Wizards said, well, let's just keep playing.
Yeah.
And then Russ started getting a triple-double nearly every night. The Wizards started winning way more than they were losing, and then they finished 34-38. I don't know that sounds great, but it's way better than they were once upon a time. And now the Wizards are in a postseason game against the Celtics on the road. Again, that one tipping off a little after 8 o'clock. So it's Hornets, Pacers, Indiana favored by 1.5. Wizards, Celtics, Boston favored by 2. So both games, at least according to the point spread, expected to be tight, could come down to the final minutes. It's a doubleheader of postseason basketball tonight. And I guess the big headline connected to tonight's doubleheader is that Caris LeVert, the Pacers' second leading scorer, is out because of health and safety protocols. Again, Shams Charania reporting that LeVert is expected to be sidelined 10 to 14 days. So, you know, barring a surprise for the rest of the Pacers season, because that means even if the Pacers win tonight, they then have to play another game on Thursday, and that would be against the loser of Washington-Boston, and then Caris LeVert still would not be available. He's out for a while. And what that suggests is that this is not contact tracing. It suggests that he has tested positive for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Now, let me be clear before I go any further. We do not know whether Caris LeVert is vaccinated or not. And we also do not know whether his doctors advised him, for reasons that I wouldn't understand from this chair, if his doctors advised him because of a previous medical condition. You might remember when he got traded from Brooklyn to the Pacers.
Yep. Had the kidney issue.
They discovered a cancerous mass on his kidney.
Mm-hmm.
He had to have surgery, and I won't pretend to know whether that could be the type of thing that might make getting vaccinated a delayed process. Again, I don't know. Let me say it one more time just in case it gets lost. I don't know. I don't know if he's vaccinated. And if he's not vaccinated, I don't know if the reason he's not vaccinated is because his doctor, based on his previous medical condition, told him not to do it yet, not to do it now, to wait. And if he is vaccinated and this happened, hey, man, he just got unlucky. Nothing you can do. Or, you know, I'll just keep it simple. Seems to have gotten unlucky based on the statistics. And if he's not vaccinated because his doctor told him now's not the time based on your recovery from your previous surgery, then I'll just shrug my shoulders because I'm not ever going to criticize somebody for listening to a doctor. I wish more people in this country would listen to their doctors. So I've never criticized Caris LeVert for listening to his doctor, if in fact his doctor did say something like that. But all that said, if this dude just got a positive test and is about to miss postseason games, at least one, maybe more, after he did not get vaccinated when it was clearly available to him, I'd lose my mind if I worked in the Indiana front office or if I were a Pacers fan. Like, from my position, I don't really care. I don't care about the Pacers, and I'd like to see LaMelo Ball keep playing. So, go Hornets. But if this dude didn't get vaccinated when it was available to him, and now he's about to miss work, the most important day of work, because he tested positive, and oh, by the way, we're paying him, if you're a Pacers fan, or at least work in that front office, $52 million. Over 3 years, $16 million this season, and now he can't come to work because he tested positive because he didn't get vaccinated? I'd go crazy. Would you go crazy?
It would definitely bother me, yeah.
Like, yo, man, we talked to you about this.
And I mean, even from his perspective, like, I'd have all kinds of regret.
You would, of course.
You know, I mean, I'm sure he was really looking forward to playing in this game.
Like this,
you know, his new team, they got a chance to go to the playoffs. Like, you know, a lot to prove for him, right?
Well, first off, this is the same organization that could have voided the trade when the cancerous mass showed up on your kidney.
That's true.
They chose not to. They said, we stand by him. Not only do we stand by him, we're now going to get him the best medical treatment we can get him to get him back healthy, first and foremost, and then on the basketball court. We believe in him. We stand by him. That's the franchise we're talking about. That's what the Pacers did.
Mm-hmm.
They are willing to take on your $52 million contract. And then you're playing well for them. I mean, this ain't just some guy. It's Caris LeVert. He's averaging 24.8 points, 7.4 assists, and 4.9 rebounds over the past 10 games. He's a reason why they're here.
Yeah.
Now he can't come to work today. Today's the biggest day of work. Whole season. Whole year. Think about whatever job you have. If today was the most important day of that job, most important day of work, you can't go to work. Boy, that frustrates your boss. That frustrates you. It'd be especially frustrating if it were avoidable. Because again, and I'll never be able to stress this enough, I don't care what your idiot friend says on Facebook. This is straight from the CDC. Studies show that COVID-19 vaccines are effective at keeping you from getting COVID-19. And getting a COVID-19 vaccine will also help keep you from getting seriously ill, even if you do get COVID-19. That's straight from the CDC. I then pulled that from my uncle's Facebook page or your uncle's Facebook page. It's straight from the CDC website. I read it word for word. Doesn't say that getting the COVID-19 vaccine will 100% prevent you from getting COVID-19, but it does say that it is effective, studies show, at keeping you from getting COVID-19. So if this dude got COVID-19 after he didn't get the vaccine that is effective at keeping people from getting COVID-19, and I'm paying him $52 million, and he can't show up for the biggest day of work, and we stood by him after the cancer man showed up on his kidney, oh boy, it bothered me. Let me circle back. We don't have answers to these questions.
All right, say it again.
We don't have answers to these questions yet, but I do think they're reasonable questions to ask.
I wonder
if the Pacers will make him available to the media. And he can, of course, decline to comment, same way LeBron James declined to comment about the vaccine earlier this year. He can decline to comment. But if he's got something good to say, I bet he'd say it. I bet he wouldn't decline comment. The question is simple, and it should be the first one. I guess you could start with how you feeling, that kind of stuff. But then very quickly you get to, were you vaccinated? Have you had both shots? Has it been 2 weeks since your second shot? And if he says yes, oh, yes, I was, and I still got this, boy, you got to be careful. Then you just shrug your shoulders at him and say, I was unlucky. Unless you find out he was just doing wild stuff. But at this point, what is wild? When the CDC says, if you're vaccinated, go wild.
Yeah.
So if he says, I was vaccinated, then it just, what happened, happened. Nobody's fault. If he says, no, I'm not vaccinated, but it's because my doctor who did my procedure told me not to, and I'm just listening to my doctor, again, okay, understand that. Not going to blame you for listening to doctors. But if this dude says, no, I wasn't vaccinated, why not? Well, I was just waiting to see. Oh, boy. We're paying you $16 million this year. You can't show up for work on the biggest day of the year. That wouldn't go over too well.
No.
So I'll be interested to find out if those questions can be asked and what those answers are. Either way, it won't matter to the Pacers tonight. They opened as 3-point favorites. It has been knocked down to 1.5, so they're still favored, but not by as much as they were before it was announced. Caris LeVert, the second leading scorer, is out for tonight's play-in game against the Charlotte Hornets. When we come back, Mark Few has been a head coach at Gonzaga for 22 seasons. He has literally never missed the NCAA tournament. He's been to 10 Sweet 16s, 2 Final Fours, 2 national title games. He's coming off a season where he went 31-1, and he will have next season the number one team in America on opening day. Mark Few joins me next. You're listening to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis's number one sports station.
Bet on more than the final score with One Game Parlay at BetMGM. One Game Parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account and create the parlay of your dreams before the game starts. One Game Parlay is the fast and easy way to make your same game win, total, and prop picks. New to BetMGM? Sign up and be on the edge of your seat the entire game. You can make one-game parlay bets on upcoming MLS and NBA games with more sports coming soon. Go ahead and take your favorite player to score, the home team to cover, and the over in points for the star power forward. Log in today or download the BetMGM app to try one-game parlay. Turn game time into showtime at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Must be 21 years or older and you must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Hey, Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. We are hiring. We need plumbers, HVAC service technicians, and installers. Make up to $55 an hour with full health benefits, paid time off, 401k, and don't forget to ask about our sign-on bonus. Surround yourself with good people and good things will happen. Come join our team. Apply online at bestcarehomeservices.com. That's bestcarehomeservices.com.
It's that time of year, and as a landscaper, that can only mean one thing. It's my time to hustle. And with Metro by T-Mobile, me and my brothers now have the extra tools we need to get this gig growing. Metro gave us four lines of unlimited high-speed data for just $25 each. Plus, they threw in four free Galaxy phones just for switching. Now we can keep in touch no matter where we're mowing and keep the social feed updated. So the whole town knows who's taking charge of these yards.
You work hard. That's why Metro makes switching easy. Right now, there's zero fees to switch. Enjoy Metro's lowest price on unlimited, just $25 a line for four lines. Plus, get four free Samsung Galaxy phones, all on the T-Mobile network.
I'm Robin, and that's how I rule my day with Metro.
Users greater than 35 gigabytes per month may notice reduced speeds, and Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus T-Mobile. Video streams at 480p, plus device sales tax with eligible port-in and no T-Mobile service in past 180 days. One phone per line, keep four line for promo rate, additional terms, limited time offer, details at metrobytmobile.com.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at desotoautosales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, they're prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected five times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the best price possible for their customers so they can clear the lot for more vehicles to come. Trucks, vans, sedans, SUVs, and they can finance you on the spot. They've got financing managers to explain all of your options. It's all there at DeSoto Auto Sales. You can see the entire selection at DeSotoAutoSales.com. Get a great car at a great price. What are you waiting for? Go to DeSotoAutoSales.com or hop on down to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch and visit DeSoto Auto Sales today.
There's now a faster and easier way to pick up your Corky's Barbecue. Order and pay online, pull into the designated spot, text Corky's to 474747, and we'll bring your order right to your car. No waiting.
Hey, it's Jason Smith, and Starting Stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes them America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like this is what your life like.
Kevin Blar took a fastball to the face last night, multiple nasal fractures, and now folks are wondering if Major League Baseball needs to do something because this is happening more often this season than it's ever happened before. I'll give you the numbers in the next segment. Jeff Calkins, he'll be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now my next guest runs one of the greatest college basketball programs in the country. He's won at least 31 games in each of the past five seasons. He's coached in two of the past four national championship games. He's finished first or second at KenPom in four of the past five seasons, and he will enter next season with what is starting to look like what will be the consensus number one team in the nation. I'm obviously talking about Gonzaga coach Mark Few. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
Mark Few, it's GP. How you doing, man?
Hey, great, GP. As I told your producer, what an honor to be on the Gary Parish Show.
Hey, if this is even the highlight of your day, you've messed up greatly. You've had plenty of honors better than this, and you got more going forward. I promise you. But I appreciate you being here. And I know. Listen, it's been about 6 weeks since the season ended. You've been on vacation with the family. You've mastered pickleball, I gather. How's the off season been going for you?
Oh gosh, it's been great. You know, probably the best thing about it, I think, for all of us, was just the opportunity to get back with your families, right? I mean, from the coaching staffs to the players. We were pretty darn isolated the last, you know, probably 6 weeks of the year. And so it's been great to get back, kind of catch up with my kids. And then also, you know, a little different deal when we got back from the Final Four. All the guys were taking classes remotely, so a good portion of them just went home and finished up just to kind of get back around their parents and brothers and sisters and things like that.
What was it like being in that controlled environment for as long as you were? I mean, you were there as long as anybody else, you and Baylor. I know, and you and I talked last offseason, leading into the season, you and your players wanted to go through this. You wanted to play under whatever conditions you had to play under. But I also know that it was difficult for you and for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, hey, first of all, I think kudos to Dan Gavitt at the NCAA. I mean, he is the, without a doubt, the hero, in my opinion, of this entire season. I just hanging with it. And there was a group of coaches with Dan. And, we were on weekly and talking about all the issues of college basketball, most of it centered around just COVID and having the season. And, you know, we just kept saying, well, we got to have the season. We sure as heck have to have the tournament. We got to have the tournament. And, you know, 75% of the calls were great and positive, but there was 25% I got off and like, man, I can't believe this. I mean, this we're talking about maybe not being able to have it again. And through it all, Dan stayed positive and kind of kept us all moving forward. And the tournament itself was, you know, bizarre. I mean, when we got there, it was like a circus. I compared it to like a gold rush town. I mean, 68 teams just packed into these hotels and the convention center, and it was just, you know, in quarantines, and, you know, we had to stay in our room for 24 hours, lockdowns. And, but by the time you got to the Sweet 16 GP, it got kind of eerily, I don't know, comfortable. You just got used to seeing it was like friends in the neighborhood. You walk by the Baylor, they were right next door to us the entire time, their meeting rooms. You know, and then at the Sweet 16, they actually moved everybody into the Marriott where we were at, the Marquee. And by the time we got down to the Final Four, holy smokes, the convention center was like a ghost town then. Like the gold had dried up, and you could walk 5-10 minutes in the convention center and not see a person. So it was definitely a different life experience. But I would say this, I think it really draws your team a lot closer. I mean, we were on the same hotel floor for, I think, 24 straight days, which is pretty amazing.
I'm talking to Gonzaga coach Mark Few here on 92.9 FM ESPN. It's been now 6 weeks since that title game. And I remember after that game, you said something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing here, but something along the lines of, listen, we just went 31-1 with wins over Kansas, Iowa, BYU, Virginia, Oklahoma, Creighton, USC, UCLA. You can't turn 31-1 into a bad thing. You can't just focus on the one. So now it's been 6 weeks since the loss to Baylor. How's it going in that regard? Can you focus on the incredible season, a second trip to the Final Four, to the title game, or does that one still eat at you even a little?
Oh, it eats at me. Sure, yeah, it eats at you. Probably even more than a little, but I think, you know, we've maintained the proper perspective. You can't, you know, 40 minutes prior to that, you can't be mentioned in the same breath of maybe being the best college basketball team ever, which was, again, crazy, you know, whatever. But you can't go from that to just bums 40 minutes later, you know what I mean? And that's kind of the world we live in with just, you know, now. These guys are the greatest ever, and they're the worst ever, and whatever. But, no, listen, we had an amazing, amazing run, an amazing season, just incredibly consistent group with their effort and the way we moved the ball and shared it. I mean, I think, I'm not positive, we ended up with one of the greatest offensive efficiencies of all time. But heck, I mean, I knew watching Baylor all year that this, you know, they were going to be a really, really difficult matchup for us. They were older than us. They had great perimeter players. They had athletes. Scott's an excellent tactician and basketball coach. And And I actually think their COVID break served to help them a little bit in there, having that break, you know. You got to reset everything and start anew, and then you come back hungry, and you don't, there's less chance to get tired and worn out. And I was talking to one of our assistants just the other day. You know, we were leaking oil a little bit, especially on the defensive end. I think we were playing tired a little bit the last couple games, and weren't quite as good against some of those games in the NCAA tournament defensively as we were earlier.
Do you think? Because I think most people know you were supposed to play Baylor in December. And that game got canceled because of COVID issues. Do you think it would have been helpful to see them up close then so that you would have had a better grasp for what you were dealing with on that Monday night in Indianapolis? Because I think you said after the game, you've maybe talking to Dana O'Neill here in the past few weeks, said I didn't know it was going to be like that. I think the quote was something along the line, I wish somebody would have told me on Sunday morning that was the game we were going to have to play.
Yeah. Now, again, this is where I get frustrated a little bit. I'm not throwing you in on this with the media a little bit. Dana's a really good friend of mine and just an awesome, talented writer. But this is where people start grabbing headlines and read. And what I said was, I would love for us coaches to be able to meet with the committee or the officials or whoever and say, okay, how are we going to approach this game? Because that was the most physical game that I've been involved with in the last, I don't know, 10 years by far. And I'm 1,000% cool with that. But I wish on, you know, Sunday prior to practice, they would have said, hey, fellas, we're just going to let them play. Because my experience was in 2017, we had an incredibly physical and big, gigantic, as you know, front line where Killian Tilly was our fourth guy at that point. I mean, Karnowski and Jonathan Williams from Memphis and Zach Collins came off the bench. And North Carolina had the same thing. And holy, I forgot how many fouls were called in that game. They fouled out. Hell, they fouled Zach out in like 12 minutes, right. A bunch of them off the ball. And that was what I was saying to Dana was, it would have been nice to, I mean, again, you could put your hands all over. They just fouled the living hell out of Drew the whole game, which is fine. But I wish we would have known that. We could have probably prepared for that. We needed to toughen up a little bit. But, now that was what the quote was. If we would have played Baylor in December, I vividly remember my feelings that day, thinking like, hey, we could be in trouble here. These guys are – I'd watched them dismantle Illinois a couple of days before. So, listen – we would have played better than we did, but they were a heck of a team. And anytime you play, I knew we had to play great to win that game. We did not play great. I'm not even sure we played good. Baylor had a lot to do with that, but, you know, so did we. We definitely didn't play our best game.
Talking to Mark Few, the head coach at Gonzaga, I want to zoom out a little bit and focus on the big picture, because the big picture on this program and what you've built is amazing/unprecedented. And I want to start actually on November 16th, 1998. I'm a junior journalism student at the University of Memphis. I'm sitting courtside inside the pyramid. Tigers have a game with a school called Gonzaga. And I'll be honest, I don't think I'd ever heard of the school before. At that point, the Zags had never won an NCAA tournament game in the history of the school. You're an assistant on that staff. You guys beat Memphis 88-73, then finish that season 28-7, go all the way to the Elite Eight. Now, I know you've been back to Memphis many times since then, but do you remember anything about that game, anything about that trip? What about that season can you recall?
I remember, I think it was it Tick Price?
Yeah.
Was that the coach?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And for just like you said, for us, that was a really, really big game. And I think it was a preseason NIT game, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
One of the great things that Dan Munson brought to this program was that scheduling philosophy to just, you know, play as many good teams as you possibly can, and we really tried to recruit to that, and just say, hey, you know, we might play in this conference, you know, and yeah, it's not you know, as strong as the Big Ten or the Big 12 or whatever, but we're going to go out and play these type of teams in the preseason. And getting in the that NIT was a big deal for us at the time. And yeah, I vividly remember that. And Richie Fromm and Matt Santangelo and that old group. We were able to win on the road, and then I think we got sent to maybe Purdue or somewhere like that and got whacked pretty good up there. But that was the year, and that was the guys that started this whole magical run.
Yeah, that was the breakthrough.
But I don't remember you in the front row.
Don't worry about that. I was very forgettable then and now. After that season, Dan takes the Minnesota job, and you become head coach of the Zags. I think it's in July 99. You've now coached 22 seasons. You've literally never missed the NCAA tournament. One of the things I've said about you is that you've got a chance, and I think you can do it. It's obviously up to you whenever you want to walk away. You've got a chance to become the only coach in history to never miss the NCAA tournament. You've never missed the tournament. You've been to 10 Sweet 16s, 4 Elite 8s, 2 Final 4s, 2 title games. You've had top 5 pick. You've just secured a commitment from the number one prospect in the country. I know you had dreams when you took this job and goals, but did you ever once come close to imagining anything like what's actually happened with this program?
Oh, no, not even remotely close to that. I mean, initially when you get the job, you're like, man, I just hope I can keep this thing for 3 years. You know, I mean, as you know, I don't know what the average lifespan of a normal college coach is. And what was bizarre about that, GP, was for the first time now ever in history of Gonzaga, you know, there was expectations. We were coming off an Elite Eight, which, like you said, we had never even won a game in the NCAA tournament. And now, you know, there's this expectation deal. So that was what I was just mainly focused on. But gosh, I'm telling you, I have just been the most blessed human being in the entire world, with just personally and obviously professionally, with just, you know, where I've ended up and who I've ended up around, probably more importantly than that, the people here. Everybody always asks, you know, how do we be the next Gonzaga, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I always tell them continuity. I mean, just, I've had the same athletic director the entire time I've been here. He's just a incredible guy that has no ego, and we've just been growth centric. We've never been happy. We've always had the same mantra, which is, if we're staying the same, we're getting past. So even after this run this last year, I mean, we're, you know, that's funny. I'm going to meet with him in probably 15 minutes. We're just kind of trying to hammer out, you know, the plan of moving some things forward here and trying to, what aspects are we going to try to grow next? And it's just, and that's been in line with our, you know, from the president, the board of trustees, all the way down. It's just, it's been everybody pulling the rope in the same direction, which I've come to understand since that point that you mentioned, that not all athletic departments are like that. They're not pulling the rope in the same direction.
Talking to Gonzaga coach Mark Few here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I mentioned you have secured a commitment, a signing from the number one prospect in America. His name is Chet Holmgren. He is a uniquely talented individual, 7-footer, can put it on the floor, make jumpers. Do you have a sense yet for how you might use him next season?
You know what? We are really just spending a bunch of time on that, quite frankly, and how he works, you know, with Drew and Andrew and all that. Because I think one thing that we do every year is, I think we probably don't, people don't understand. I mean, we change the way we play. I mean, we were vastly different this past year than we were the year prior with, you know, Philip Petrusev and you know, we played more traditional that year before with two bigs. And this year we played Corey Kispert at the four, and he's a two guard. And so, yeah, we're in the process of kind of hypothesizing how we're going to do it. I'm kind of more of a guy that I need to, once they get here and once they start playing together, then I can visualize it better and just kind of start coming up with my plan. And as we go along, that seems to always work better than trying to map out something before everybody gets here. But You know, as you know, this is crazy times in college hoops with transfers and all that. And I think, you know, with Nolan's commitment, we now got our roster kind of finalized and know who we have and what we're going to do. And I'm fired up for it. It's going to be a fun group and a different group than what I just had. But there's a lot of talent there, and I think we can go in a lot of different directions on both sides of the ball.
I'm wrapping up here with Mark Few, the Gonzaga head coach. Last thing before I let you go, your former lead guard, Jalen Suggs, is basically guaranteed to be a top five pick, probably a top three pick in this year's NBA draft. When NBA front office people ask you about him, what do you tell them makes him what he is?
Absolute winner. That's how I would describe him. Just he's a winner. And he's a winner because he's willing to do whatever it takes. I mean, he'll defend all over the floor. He'll rebound the ball. I mean, he's not afraid to, as you know, to attempt the pass and make the pass. And not many people either have that kind of mindset or have the skills to do that. I mean, he's an incredible athlete and, you know, great feel for the game and can score. And yet there's still a ton of upside there. I think if he continues to get his shot more and more consistent, the growth's going to happen. But and he's somebody that, you know, we had a veteran group, but he's somebody that people love to play with and will follow, quite frankly. And he plays with a smile on his face, GP. You know, he plays with joy, which I think is a definite positive attribute also. So he's the total package, man, and he's durable as heck, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun watching him progress in that league.
That is Mark Few.
But now, you said we're wrapping up, so now's the time to lobby for massive minutes. Is it tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow for Brandon Clark and Killian Tilly.
Yeah, for Brandon Clark and Killian Tilly. Let's start both those Zags and play in 35 minutes. Let's go.
I know during the season, like, you're caught up in your own thing. You guys barely have time to do anything other than what you're doing. But how closely can you keep up with not just a Brandon Clark or a Killian Tilly, but a Rui Hachimura or anybody else you've got in the NBA? How closely do you follow it?
I mean, my kids keep me updated on that probably more than anybody because they love following that. And I just mostly watch college ball unless, you know, that one of their games happens to fall right when I – get home late at night. What I do every, I get, you know, biweekly updates of all our guys currently playing. And that's everybody, whether they're in Germany or Poland or Russia. Kevin Pangos is in the Final Four of the EuroLeague over there in Russia, and so is Nigel Williams. So I get updates of that. So it's fun to follow along, but, you know, obviously, you know, we get the updates when Rui or BC or those guys make the Sports Center, things like that. It's pretty cool. I mean, that we came that far, that, you know, we got this many guys still playing and playing in the playoffs, things like that. So I'm excited for those guys.
That's terrific. Well, we'll assume you're going to be watching tomorrow night, hopefully a Grizzlies victory over the San Antonio Spurs. That's Gonzaga coach Mark Few. He's coached in two of the past four national title games, and he is set to enter next season with what appears to be the consensus number one team in America. Fewey, thank you for being here. You're always terrific. I appreciate your time and look forward to seeing you this summer on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, you got it, GP. Always enjoy it.
All right, brother.
Take care.
I'll see you. Bye-bye. That's Mark Few, head coach at Gonzaga. And at least tomorrow night, a tuned-in Grizzlies fan hoping to see Brandon Clark and Killian Tilly play a role in the Grizz advancing in the postseason. You want to play in game tomorrow night? Get to play again on Friday on the road against either the Lakers or the Golden State Warriors. When we come back, Kevin Pillar took a 94-mile-per-hour fastball to the face last night. It was against the Braves. He plays for the Mets. It was a scary scene. If you've seen it, you know that it looked bad, and it is bad. He's got multiple nasal fractures, but it could have been a lot worse. And it's led to a discussion in Major League Baseball about whether something should be done to try to cut down on this, because I don't know if you've noticed, but this is happening more often this season than it's ever happened in modern history. I'll give you some numbers on that next. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station. 92.9
ESPN from Odyssey.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Searching for solid information about mortgage options? Search no more. Here to bring you the answers you need is Don Holsinger, Chief Mortgage Officer with Orion Federal Credit Union, with this week's Mortgage Minute.
Let's talk about closing costs. What are they? While buying or refinancing your home, there are costs associated with a transaction. Attorney fees, title insurance, appraisal costs, recording fees, and some lender fees can all be factors. Every lender has fees they charge or have to collect for other parties. You can estimate adding about 3.5% of your loan amount for closing costs. We know this upfront costs could be stressful and may impact your plans. Orion offers mortgage options that may reduce closing costs or even eliminate your out-of-pocket expenses altogether. When you're looking into financing, reach out to Orion for a free consultation. To learn more, visit orionhomeloan.com or give us a call at 1-800-532-9025.
This Mortgage Minute has been provided to you by Orion Federal Credit Union. Terms and conditions apply. Contact Orion for details. Conventional mortgages only. Minimum loan amount $95,000. Available in select states. Orion is an equal housing lender.
According to the National Institutes of Health, 30% of hospital admissions in older adults are drug-related, like taking meds at the wrong time. Hero Health simplifies medication management. The smart device stores up to 90 days' worth of up to 10 different pills. It dispenses them at the push of a button. Try Hero risk-free for 30 days and get free contactless delivery. Just call 800-420-7550. That's 800-420-7550. 800-420-7550. Hero. Medication managed.
It's like I blinked and suddenly all my business shifted to e-commerce.
Now my business hours are whenever my customers need me.
My customers want everything now and faster than ever. It's a whole different world.
Your business is changing. The United States Postal Service is changing with it. We're bringing you fast, reliable shipping nationwide. And we're bringing it right when your customers need it. Let's discover new routes. Visit usps.com/new routes. The United States Postal Service. Priority, you.
Hey, Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air. We are hiring. We need plumbers, HVAC service technicians, and installers. Make up to $55 an hour with full health benefits, paid time off, 401k, and don't forget to ask about our sign-on bonus. Surround yourself with good people and good things will happen. Come join our team. Apply online at bestcarehomeservices.com. That's bestcarehomeservices.com.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider and are only available if the provider determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free for Hims.com/radio. That's right. Free, zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/radio. That's forhims.com/radio for your free online visit. forhims.com/radio.
We saved serious cash with our Progressive Home and Auto Bundle and used the money to buy a new boat.
Who's ready to water ski?
This is not a real testimonial. Sure, customers can save big money with Progressive, but not enough for a new boat. They'll probably spend it on rent or gas money or maybe one of those little plastic wading pools for the yard.
Ahoy there!
Is what the captain might say. On the toy boat. In your wading pool. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere, plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing blackjack versus death gun on the car dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the car dealer. Last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger.
Jeff Carter's going to be here a little after 5 o'clock. I'll talk. I don't know what I'll talk to him about. You never know. I'm thinking Grizzlies. But I'm almost always thinking Grizzlies this time of the year.
Yeah, I'm sure you hit Grizzlies at some point.
And then we end up talking about just other things, it happens. We get to Grizzlies around 5:20 or so. Either way, Jeff Cargis will be here a little after 5 o'clock. Right now, though, I got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's 4 notable stories at 4:44. Story number 1.
New York Mets outfielder Kevin Pillar suffered multiple nasal fractures when he was hit last night in the face by a fastball from Braves reliever Jacob Webb. A frightening scene that shook both teams. That's the lead sentence in a story posted over at ESPN.com. Did you see this yet?
Dude. Yeah. That is like, I felt that.
Whew.
Yeah, I felt that.
Man, so
here, someone who's been hit in the nose, like.
I played baseball my whole life. I never took a fastball to the face.
Uh-huh.
I took one in the ribs and broke a rib when I was like 11, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, I was a little 11-year-old, and the guy pitching was like bigger than me now, which I know isn't much. Ha, ha, ha. But like, he was a big guy. And I remember I got hit. I took a fastball right in the ribs, and it hurt so bad. And I was going to charge the mound. I was going to be the one 11-year-old in history who charged the mound. And then I looked at the pitcher, and I was like, nah, this ain't the guy to charge. So I just stood there and, like, cried and hurt. But I never took one in the face. But I've seen that before. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in person.
Yeah. I know a guy in high school who he was a catcher, and they were practicing, and he had his mask off and just wasn't paying. Just one of those things, just made a mistake, and – freaking took one in the mouth and lost like all of his teeth.
I think I remember Randy Meadows, a friend of mine who played shortstop with me at Horn Lake. I played second, he played shortstop, and he was really good and I wasn't as good. So he went on to play college baseball and I did not. So he went to Memphis. He was a shortstop at Memphis. He was actually the National Defensive Player of the Year, college baseball 1 year at Memphis. And it was either his freshman season or sophomore season, but he's playing down at Ole Miss. So me and a buddy went down to, you know, hey, Randy's playing down at Ole Miss today. Let's go down to Ole Miss and watch the game. And he took, if I remember correctly, a fastball right to the face.
Ugh.
And it was scary.
I bet.
I mean, that was like my friend seeing it in person, right?
Yeah.
So last night, me and my middle guy, Oliver, we play catch upstairs. Not every night, but most nights. You know, we put our gloves on and we play catch upstairs.
Okay, that sounds safe.
Well, we use a tennis ball when we're upstairs.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. No, I'm not letting him throw a baseball in my house. But like, you know, it's something to do.
Yep.
So we play catch upstairs and with a tennis ball, but we use our gloves. And so the way I usually do it is I make him get at the end where his back is to the TVs because he doesn't care about watching the baseball games. But
right.
But I want to still watch the games while we're playing catch. So I've got Mets Braves on the big TV. And we're throwing back and forth, back and forth. And I'm glancing at the game. I've got my eyes on it. And it's hard to explain because it happens so fast, but you can see it happening. Like, it happens fast, but you can see it happening. Like, when it comes out of his hand, you know this is about to be bad. Now, you only have, like, a split second to know it. But my point is, if you've watched baseball enough, you know, woo! And so when he let that pitch go, I actually went, oh, F. And Oliver thought I was yelling at him. And he was like, what did I do, Dad? I was like, no. So then I called him. Oh, I was like, look at this. And by the time he got over there, the blood is just gushing from Pillar. And he walked off under his own power, which was an obviously great sign. but that could have been, I mean, listen, it was bad. He's not going to play baseball again for a while. It was bad,
mm-hmm.
but it could have been much, much worse. Then I had some people on Twitter after I tweeted the video say, you know, I had to come out of the bullpen and, you know, that bench clear and brawl stuff. Dude, that pitcher did not mean to do that.
Heck no.
First off, you saw instantly
that pitcher was scared. Yeah.
He was sick at what he thought he might have done to somebody. He was sick on the mound. And they got him out of the game because he was shook. But, like, here's the larger point. It was a one-run game with the bases loaded.
Mm-hmm.
As Kevin Pillar tweeted last night, it was the game-winning RBI. He took a fastball in the face for a game-winning RBI. No, it wasn't intentional, but it was scary. And it led to a conversation about, does Major League Baseball need to do something? Because this season, so far, 1.24% of all plate appearances have ended in a batter being hit. Now, that might not sound like much, but in what ESPN describes as modern history, since 1900, so more than a century,
mm-hmm.
this is the highest percentage of batters being hit in the history of baseball. And so the question becomes, okay, why is this happening? I think some of it is hitters are really protected in terms of, like, actual guards and
mm-hmm.
They wear stuff on their feet, on their ankles, on their elbows, on their arms. And so they're more protected than they've ever been. So you feel comfortable in the box. Like, even if I get hit, as long as it's not the face, I'll probably be okay. And almost nobody ever gets hit in the face because it's just sort of understood you don't throw balls up there. So if I get hit anywhere else, I'm fine. So you get real comfortable in the box. I think that's a contributing factor. Another contributing factor seems to be that pitchers are throwing harder than they've ever thrown. That's a fact as well. And so this works on two levels. One, you have less control than you've ever had. And that's not necessarily true across the board. Like Jacob DeGrom touches 100 but can still, you know, paint corners. He puts 100 where he wants it. But not everybody is Jacob DeGrom, the greatest pitcher in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So guys are throwing harder. They have less control over where it's going. And then guys are throwing harder. It gets there quicker. There's less time to react. It was interesting watching the response because this went viral last night. Like, everybody was retweeting it and watching it and retweeting it, even non-baseball fans. And what was interesting to watch is people who don't watch baseball often, they were like, ooh, 94 to the face. 94. Ooh, 94, 94. 94 is nothing now. 94 was something like when I was a teenager. It's like if somebody threw 94, you were like, ooh, boy. Now everybody throws 94. Like the average fastball in the major leagues this season, the average velocity is like 93.3. Everybody throws 94 is nothing.
That's crazy.
Everybody, like, you're more likely to see somebody throw 98 than you are see somebody throw 90.
Mm-hmm.
And there are guys who get 100, 101, 102, 103. Guys are throwing harder than they've ever thrown. It's why strikeouts are up. Balls in play are down. And hitters getting hit also up. And so this is one of the reasons they are considering moving the mound back. You know, it's been 60 feet, 6 inches forever. And Major League Baseball is at least debating and studying the impact of going back to 61 feet, 6 inches, move it back 12 inches. And I know that doesn't sound like much, but those extra 12 inches can be the difference between you getting hit in the face or not.
Mm-hmm.
It also can be the difference in a ball being put in play or not. There was a study that they did that showed whatever time you have to react to a 93-mile-per-hour fastball right now, if you just move the mound back 6 inches, you would have that same amount of time to react to a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. In other words, 97 would still be 97, but it would look like 93 to you. It would feel like 93 to you. And that little bitty difference could make a big difference in the game. And this was all brought back to the forefront last night because we watched a veteran, like, really come close to getting seriously, seriously injured. That was a scary scene. If you haven't seen it yet, go find it on Twitter or wherever you find things because it was scary. Again, multiple nasal fractures, going to require surgery. He'll be sidelined for a while, but all things considered, that's a pretty good outcome.
Story number two.
So after everybody got through watching Kevin Pillar take a fastball to the face, Shohei Ohtani became the viral baseball thing last night because he hit his 13th home run of the season off of a fastball that was way up in the zone. Did you see this?
No.
Okay. You can't overstate how hard it is to catch up to a fastball in your eyes. Like, it's just sort of understood. You don't even swing because you can't. It looks great. You can't get it. He got one in the eyes and just turned on it and smashed it. It was 4.19 feet off the ground, this pitch. And it's the second highest pitch anyone has homered off of this year.